In the name of Jesus. The urge to hide from God is as old as sin. But Mary doesn't do that. Adam and Eve do that. It's the first thing they do after their transgression. And when God confronts them about it, Adam says, "Don't look at me, look at the woman." And the woman says, "Don't look at me, look at the snake." But Mary says, "Look at me." Or more precisely, the Lord has looked on the humble estate of his servant. So this morning I'd like to consider what it would mean to follow Mary's example rather than the example of Adam and Eve. And also to briefly consider what resources the church has to help you do that. The example is that she rejoices that the Lord looks at her. Now, if you would just permit me two observations about the Greek text, I want to emphasize the power of Mary's example. The first is that the word for look on is not the normal word for just glance at something. It's not blepo, but it's intensified by a preposition, epiblepo, to focus your attention on. Second observation, lowly estate. It's the same root that Paul uses to describe how Jesus humbled himself, tapenosis, as lowly estate. In Philippians 2, he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. It's actually the word that we get the dogmatic term state of humiliation from, that Jesus humbled himself. So if we want to put Mary's statement in the sharpest possible terms, we might paraphrase it like this. The Lord has focused his attention on my humiliation. Do you want the Lord to focus his attention on your humiliation? Well, the primeval fear of being seen for what we really are is universal. It's not just in the Bible, but you can find it in literature as well. For example, J.R.R. Tolkien, when he wants to portray the threat posed by the evil villain Sauron, he resorts to the image of an eye. This is how Tolkien describes Sauron's eye. He says, "The eye, that horrible, growing sense of a hostile will that strove with great power to pierce all the shadows of cloud and earth and flesh and to see you, to pin you under its deadly gaze, naked, immovable." You don't want that thing looking at you. Or when Stanley Kubrick was filming 2001, A Space Odyssey, he had an artistic decision to make. How are you going to represent the computer HAL? This is the computer that ends up murdering all of the crew on the spaceship. Now, Kubrick does not portray HAL's creepy threat by making him into a robot wielding four lightsabers at a time, as some other franchise might be tempted to do. No, he portrays the interface between HAL and the crew as a glowing red eye. This is an eye that sees what the crew is doing. It can figure out what they're thinking and what they're planning because it can read their lips. And with that information, it kills them. You don't want that looking at you either. But even in Lutheran theology, we sometimes theologize as if the goal of salvation is that we get to hide from God forever. Have you ever heard justification described like this? That Christ puts himself between us and God so that when God looks at us, he sees only Jesus. Now, depending on what point you want to make, you could use that metaphor, but I would only observe this. In that description of the gospel, you're still hiding. You're hiding behind Jesus, but you're still hiding. This is not the example that Mary gives us. For her, she rejoices. Not that God has diverted his attention from her humiliation, but that he has looked right at it. Because for her, that means salvation. So if we want to see Jesus in Mary's humble estate, I think what we would have to say is not that Jesus suffered humiliation in her place, or that he diverted God's gaze away from her humiliation, but rather that he joined her in her humiliation. This is the point of Christmas. Emmanuel means God with us. It doesn't mean God instead of us. Now, God instead of us is also an important theme in Christian theology, the vicarious atonement, the teaching that Christ has suffered God's wrath in our place so that we don't have to suffer God's wrath. It is central in Christian theology. But it's just not what's going on in this text. Here the pattern is that Christ enters her humiliation as he himself humbles himself in Philippians 2, and the result is as he is exalted, so also he exalts the humiliated. So, confronting shame is also a central feature of Christian theology. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, says Paul. Well, if everyone thought that the gospel of Christ were honorable, he would not have had to say that. The reason he says it is because the culture in the first century saw the gospel of Christ as something that was ridiculous. The very first image that we have of Christ's cross is in graffiti. And it's a picture of a donkey crucified with a little man in the foreground with his hand upraised, and the inscription reads, "Alexamenos worships his God." The Romans thought this was hilarious. They thought Jesus was hilarious. And the gospel writers don't cover that up. They actually emphasize it. If you think about the way that the Gospels describe the passion of Jesus, they spend almost no time discussing the physical pain that he endured. They spend all of their time describing in great detail all of the shame and the ridicule that he endured. The Roman soldiers put a purple robe on him. They put a reed in his hand. Hey, that's your royal scepter. Hail Jesus, King of the Jews. Here's a mock crown, an inscription over your head. Why doesn't he come down from the cross? He saved others. He can't save himself. And on and on. That's what the gospel writers want you to know about Jesus' death on the cross. That he knows shame. So don't think that he's going to shrink back from in horror when he sees you, when he sees those parts of you that you don't want other people to see. Jesus does not send the humiliated away. No, it's the mighty that he casts down from his thrones. The humiliated he exalts. So this means that you can be honest with God in your own heart about who you are and what the nature of your sinful condition is. And you can be honest in the church as well. Now, I don't mean bearing your soul like publicly in the divine service, but in the church, the believers, that you have friends who are fellow Christians to whom you can talk about your struggles and your sins and bring your sins into the light where they don't have the same power over you as they do in the darkness. The Small Called articles call this mutual conversation and consolation of the brethren. It's one of the ways that God has ordained to give us the gospel. And I pick that example just because it was really helpful to me when I was a seminary student, that I was blessed to have one or two friends that I really could talk to about anything. And what that does for you is it gives you the sense that you don't have to hide to be in the church or to be in the seminary. And it also gives you the opportunity to hear the consolation of the gospel. Not that every conversation made that explicit, but the opportunity was there. Confession and absolution is another resource that the church has to help you follow Mary's example of being seen. Now, I have to admit, that's not one that I took advantage of as a seminary student. I did later, but as a seminary student, when I was a student, the person you were supposed to go to confession to was the dean of students, and the dean of students was part of, like, who was going to certify you for ministry, so there was a little bit of a hesitation there. We fixed that, by the way. Chaplain Sivaking is not involved in certification, just so you know that. But whatever way you do it, following Mary's example fundamentally means that you are willing to be seen, that you are willing to be seen by God in the first place, and secondarily also by other believers. Now, there are all kinds of scary reasons not to do that. I get that. Adam and Eve get that. But remember, we are dealing with Jesus, not Sauron. And Jesus will treat you the way he treated Mary. Jesus did not pin her down with his gaze and reject her. Nor did Jesus accept her but tried not to look at her. No, what he did is he looked at her and he honored her anyway. Amen.